I want to do something a little bit different this morning. I want to start out, I want to ask you to close your eyes. I want to put you in a scenario that will lead into our message this morning about taking the gospel message to the end of the earth. So close your eyes and imagine that you are an apostle. You're a close follower of Jesus Christ. You've followed Him for 3 years. You've heard Him teach. You've seen Him heal people. You've seen Him set the captives free. You've seen Him raise the dead. You've seen all of the miracles. You've seen how He loves people. You've seen Him touch lepers and them be healed. You've seen Him talk to people that society says, oh, don't talk to them. Then you saw Him go into Jerusalem. You saw Him proclaimed Messiah, King of the Jews. And a week later, you saw Him crucified. But then on that third day, you heard that He arose, and then you got to see Him because He appeared to you and over 500 people. You got to feel Him. You got to touch Him. You got to eat with Him. You got to see His power after He was resurrected. You got to see Peter. You got to see Thomas, those two of your disciple friends that kind of doubted and denied Jesus even. You got to see them come back and Jesus' love on them, and you got to see them strengthen you. He's been with you now 40 days after He resurrected, and you are walking up to this Mount of Olives. You're walking up the hill on the east side of Jerusalem, and you're going up there, and you're thinking, man, it can't get any better than this. You're thinking, I'm with Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. Nobody should doubt now because He raised Himself from the dead just like He said He was going to. And you're thinking, it can't get any better than this. And as you're walking up there and you're thinking about how awesome this is, something Jesus said to you the week before He was crucified comes to your mind. And He said in John 16:7, He said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. So you're standing there, that thought comes to your mind, that message that He gave you comes to your mind, and you got to be thinking, I thought I was in the best place ever. I thought with Jesus standing right next to me, where I can reach out and touch Him, that it couldn't get any better. It couldn't get any more blessed. But He told me it could. He told me that when He goes away, there's something that's going to come to me that is going to be better than Him. And you can't imagine that. But He said it's going to be to your advantage that I go away, because I'm going to send this Helper, this Holy Spirit to you, and He's going to enable you to do all kinds of things. It's going to be better when I go away. So what's your response to that? Isn't your response, bring it on, Jesus? Bring it on? Do we sign up for that? That's so hard to fathom what these disciples could have heard. All right, everybody back with me now. Would that be your response? Would you be sitting there, bring it on, Jesus? That should be our response. Jesus told us, it is good for you that I go away. Now, He's gone to prepare a place for us that where He is, we will be. He's building those mansions for us in heaven. But when He left, He did this. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is when the disciples are on that Mount of Olives. They've walked up that hill. They've spent 40 days with Him after He was resurrected. And Jesus tells them something about this better thing that's coming. He tells them something about this Holy Spirit and what this Holy Spirit is going to do. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He's getting ready to ascend, and the Bible tells us that when He comes back in His second coming, His feet will touch that very same spot from which He left. And at the moment that touches, that mountain will split open, and there will be a river created going all the way down to Jerusalem. That's where he's coming back. We know that. But here's what he told his disciples. He says, I'm going away, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So we're going to talk today about the power that enables us to go fish. We've talked about the heart that's required. We understand that it has to be the heart of heaven itself, the heart of Jesus Christ. We talked about the fact that we need to recognize that Jesus' love never changed. Even when man sinned, God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. We talked about having a heart for sinners just like Jesus did. Then we talked about how we do this. We get that heart by being consumed by His Word. We got to consume His Word. We got to read His Word, get into His Word, meditate on His Word. And then we need to let it consume us. Let it flow through us. Ooze out, as we said. And then last week we talked about our individual responsibilities. We all have an individual responsibility to go fish. And I want to thank you guys. You guys have responded. I've actually caught two people fishing. Just happened to walk in, they're fishing. You know, it's great. It's wonderful. I know there's more of you doing it. But that's what we talk about, is taking that gospel message out to others. We're going to talk specifically about what our role is. But we talked about being on God's fishing team, Jesus' fishing team. We got an individual responsibility, but we got to do it together. In a couple of ways, we said, you know, some people have gifts that others don't. And we also talked about doing it over time. We need to fish where other people may have fished, or somebody may come along after us and fish. Because, as you know, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So sometimes it takes time. But we see all of this leading up and you say, how can I do this? How can I possibly have the power for my words to reach the ends of the earth, which is what Jesus told his disciples to do? And that's what we're going to talk about today. That power, as you heard, comes from the Holy Spirit. So here's the first point I want to make to you. Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit would empower us to be witnesses in our families, in our local areas, in distant regions with different people groups, all the way to the ends of the earth. We need to understand that the power behind the words that we may say, the power behind the love that we may show, is not our power. It is the power of God Himself. God promises that His word will never return void. So, you know, these disciples are probably sitting there thinking, what do you mean we're going to be witnesses to the ends of the earth? We don't even know where those are. How in the world can we do this? Is this even doable, God? Well, yes, it is. He wouldn't give us a task. He wouldn't give us a commission if we weren't able to do it. But we can only do it through Him. So you, I hope, see, if you go back to that feeling that you were getting when Jesus is with you and He tells you, I've got something better for you than being with me. Can you guys even fathom that? I can't. I mean, I'd want to sit there and go, no, you're not going anywhere. Drag on to His coattails as He's going up. You know, I don't want to lose you. But Jesus said, I'm sending the Helper, this Holy Spirit, and He will empower you to do what I'm telling you to do. And He told him, He said, now look, you guys are going to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Wonder why He did that. Well, if the Holy Spirit is going to be what empowers us to do it, we need to wait on the Holy Spirit, don't we? And we see when the Holy Spirit came into that room where the disciples were gathered, it was one Holy Spirit. If you look at the literal translation, there is one Spirit. And that same one Spirit goes into all of them. And that same one Spirit goes into all of us too. Each and every child of God has that Holy Spirit inside them, empowering them to be what? witnesses. Yeah, disciples too, but witnesses. That's what we're talking about today. So how many of you guys have ever been in a court proceeding? All right, so you got the judge, right? You got the lawyers, and then you got these witnesses. What do the witnesses do? They get up and they tell what they saw or what happened to them, right? They're not the ones that pound the gavel. They're not the ones that make the decisions. They're not the ones that do anything other than say, this is what happened to me. Let me tell you about it. So we need to understand what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. The Holy Spirit does not empower us to pound the gavel. The Holy Spirit doesn't empower us to make the legal arguments. What the Holy Spirit does is empowers us to be witnesses, to tell what happened to us, to tell how Jesus Christ changed our lives, to tell what we used to be like, to tell about our encounter with Jesus, and then to tell how we're different now because of Him. And let me just tell you this. You may have people laugh at you when you tell them this. You may have people think you are a fool, as we studied in high school class today. But you know what they cannot tell you? It didn't happen, and you don't know what you're talking about, because you are the only one, you and God, who knows exactly what happened to you. So you can give your witness testimony strong. Is it going to be cross-examined? Oh, yeah. God said, you be ready, in season, out of season. You always be ready to give an explanation for the hope that is within you. Always be ready. Don't back down, but that's your testimony. That is your witness. And the Holy Spirit is what enables you to give that witness. So you think, I'm really shy. I don't like to talk. What if I get the words wrong? There's a lot of people that won't be a witness because they're afraid that they're going to get something wrong when they're talking to someone who's lost. Listen, you can't get your own story wrong. You know, the blind man who was healed, he goes to the scribes and Pharisees. They keep dragging him in because they don't believe that Jesus Christ healed him. And finally, they keep pounding on him. They go to his parents. Parents say, I don't know, ask him. Right? Parents didn't give an answer. So they go back to him one more time. Tell us once again, wasn't it this devil that did this? He goes, look, I don't know who did it, but I'll tell you what he did. I was blind, but now I see. And then he said this, here's his fishing lure. Would you like to hear him too? And you're like, oh, you know, they're like, oh no. But you understand, what he did was he took his testimony, his own testimony, no religious words. I was blind, but now I see. No doctrinal theology, no doctorate level stuff at all. And he gave his testimony. I was blind, but now I see. Here's our testimony. I was dead. I met Jesus Christ, and now I'm alive. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I met Jesus Christ, and now I live for Him, and I have eternal life. That's our witness. I want you all to be able to explain doctrinal things. I want you all to be able to talk about what the Bible says. But what I really want you is what God says to do. Be a witness for me. What did I do in your life? How did I change you? How did believing in Jesus Christ change your eternal destiny? And I know there are people in here today who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, and I cannot pass this opportunity. If everybody would please turn to John chapter 3. We'll start with the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. But I want you to understand, when we go fishing, we're not trying to bring you in just to join this church. We're not trying to bring you in to do anything except put your faith in Jesus Christ. I would love for you to join the church. I'd love for you to be here every Sunday, Wednesday, even Thursdays when we have service. That'd be great. But what God wants is for you to put your faith in His Son to the exclusion of everything else. That only hope you have then is Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, that is enough. That is all you need. But look at John 3:16. We know this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the testimony. Jesus came to earth to pay for your sins so that you don't have to. The Bible tells us that every soul has sinned. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the punishment. But Jesus came to pay that penalty. Look in verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's encouraging too. Look at verse 18 though, and here's what most people miss. And I want you to understand, this is God's Word. He who believes in Him, that's Jesus, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Understand what this means. We come into the world because of our sin nature. We are on a path to hell. We have one way to get off of that path. That way is Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. One way. There's not a lot of ways. There's not good works. There's not giving money. There's not church membership. There's not going on mission trips. There's not any of this stuff. The question is simply going to come down to this at the end of time. When you stand before God as judge, which we all will, the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We will stand in front of Him. And we're either going to get this reaction from Jesus. Oh, I know Him. I have a relationship with Him. He's mine. In which case God says, welcome home. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Or we get this reaction. God, I've done all these wonderful things for You. I gave $50,000. I gave this. I did this. I did all these works. And God turns to His Son and says, do you know Him? Do you know her? And Jesus says, no. He says, depart from Me. I never knew you. In this case, it is who you know and who you know only. You know, in the work life, we don't want our promotions and our status to be based on who we know. But this time, yes, I want it to be based solely on who I know. And more importantly, who knows me? Jesus Christ will say, come on in. I know you. And that means that we've had a relationship with Him. And part of that is being empowered through His Holy Spirit that comes to live on the inside of us when we become children of His. So in order to become a child of God, we have to say, you know, God, I am a sinner. I agree with You. I confess. That's what that word means. That I am a sinner. I confess I have not followed Your law. I need Jesus Christ in my life. I confess Him as my Lord. That means my Master. I'm going to do what He says. And my Savior. We like that part. Sometimes we don't like the Lord part. But He's my Lord and my Savior. And if we confess that with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead, we will be saved. And that's the story that we can tell everybody as we go around being witnesses for Him. That's all we have to do. And everybody here who has experienced that change in their life can be a witness. But you say, well, you know, we've got differences. We all come from different backgrounds. I've got different experiences. How does the Holy Spirit deal with this? Well, that's our next point. God empowers us to use our differences which are beautiful and God-given in fishing for men and women. Let's go to the next slide. Okay. God empowers us to use our differences, which are beautiful and God-given in fishing for men and women. So we're all different. And we're all going to have a different testimony. My testimony, number one, can't be yours, and it shouldn't be yours. It's each individual. Some of you have come from backgrounds that you know, are vastly different, and there is a reason that God has brought you to here today, but to where you are. And He's brought you there because, number one, we're all created for His glory. So He's brought you to that point. He's brought you through your own experiences, good or bad from your standpoint, but they're all good from God's standpoint. He's bringing you to the point where you have a testimony, a witness, based upon your difference that no one else has. Think about this. We heard Thursday night when we had the singing, there was a fellow from the church that wanted to give his testimony. And I said, does it glorify God? He said, yes, it does. I said, okay. And here was his testimony. When he was 8 years old, he was playing with a rifle or a shotgun, and he shot his sister and she died. He lived with that guilt for years. But you know what he does now? He gives that testimony to show people that God will forgive that sin. God will forgive you. God will heal you. God will repair you. And that was a strong testimony. Can you imagine with that kind of guilt? But he was able to stand up here and share that. And you know what? That was his experience. Nobody else has had that experience. There's some of us in here, heart attacks, cancer, all kinds of stuff, death in our families. We all have a unique testimony. And those differences are God-given. We have differences in the way we approach things. We have differences in the way that God has gifted us. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we all have those differences. But here's the final point. Our differences, unified in purpose by the one same Holy Spirit and God ordained, that's what we use to reach the lost. Okay? So what is it that brings all these differences together? What is it that the Holy Spirit will use to empower us? Well, He uses Himself. Because let me point this out to you. Remember I told you that in the upper room, the actual translation is that the Holy Spirit came in. A lot of people think there's like 12 different fingers of fire. It's one. It was like that. The Holy Spirit goes into all these people. The same Holy Spirit goes into each one of us. So when we let God control by letting the Holy Spirit rule in our lives and by walking in the Spirit, it is God who is leading us. It is God who's directing our steps. And when words come out of our mouth, it is God who is taking those words and putting them in the hearer's ears. So when you think, oh, I might mess this up. Number one, I don't think you can mess your own story up, okay? But if you do, God will use it. And He will use it in ways you will not understand. It may be you're talking to this person and this person over here hears you. Your thoughts are all the way over here. You don't even know that person's there. God gets that message over there. He puts that message in. You may be talking to somebody and they've got a friend. The friend is the one that the message is meant for. You know, I've preached lots of sermons and people go, that was a great point you made, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I didn't make that point. So God did. And God does that stuff all the time. And it's the Holy Spirit inside of us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this will be our last scripture for the day. I lied. So it'll be our next to last. And we want to talk about this same Spirit because this one purpose that we all have, this one motivation, comes from the same place. You know, if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, it's not like Parks has his favorite or his want to. And Bob has his want to, and Kenny has his want to, and Deborah has hers, and Ronald has his. And, you know, we all got our different personalities, but when we all come into this, this is what Paul said to the Corinthians. He says, look, there are diversities in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities or differences in gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, differences in work, but the same Lord. And there are diversities or differences in activities, just in what we're doing. But it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. So the Spirit is manifest in each one of our lives, watch this, for the profit of all. Not just for our good, for the profit of all. The Lord is working in and through our differences because He is the same Lord at work in all of us. And then watch this last part. And all of it is for His glory. So understand what God's motivation is. God created us for His glory. He wants to be glorified. Jesus said, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. He's given us the Spirit. He's given us the Spirit to empower us to go out to be witnesses so that we can be fishers of men, fishers of women. And we go out and we share our testimony. We do the things that witnesses do, and God is the one that does everything else. Remember, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In the early church, Peter gave the best, one of the best sermons ever given, right? And God saved 3,000 people. The 5,000 people were added to the church later that day or later that week. Peter didn't add them. I don't add them. God works to add to His church. Jesus said when He was talking to Peter, I will establish my church. He didn't say you will. He says, I will establish my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church, you, the body of Christ, it's not this building, new floor or anything. It's the body of Christ. Each and every one of us comes together to make up this body, and we are all empowered by that same Spirit to go out and witness for Him. So you have the power. You have the power to reach your neighbors. You have the power to reach your friends. You have the power to reach the ends of the earth. God gave it to you. So how are you going to do that? You think, I can't go to the ends of the earth. You partner with Rose and Rudy French who go to the Philippines, who go to Korea. You got the Morgans in Ecuador. We support all kinds of mission outreaches. Locally, here, let's go to the Judea and Samaria. That's a little bit further away. We witnessed to people in Nashville, in Centerville, Jackson. But your testimony, your witness can go across the world. How? It can go on Facebook. It can go on posts you make. It can go in letters. It can go in your support for missions. It can go in your prayer for missions. Don't think that you can't do this because the Holy Spirit has said, yep, I'm going to empower you. And God put me in you. I'm the guarantee you have that you're going to heaven. I'm the guarantee you have that you're saved. So He's also the proof we have that we can be witnesses. Final verse, Matthew 28, 18. This is what we call the Great Commission. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. You know, he had gotten them all. He had trained them all. He'd shown His love for them. And He said, all authority has been given to me, verse 18. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you think, you wanted Jesus to be with you? Jesus is going to be with you. He's going to go before you, He's going to be with you, and He's going to go behind you. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. He sent the Holy Spirit to give us a special power, and that power was to share what He did for us. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. He gives us gifts of teaching and administration and all those things, and we each have different gifts like we read. But the one that we all have is this ability to tell. What an awesome God we have. To tell what Jesus Christ has done for us, how He's pulled us through those tough times, how He's allowed us to continue to believe when we don't think we can anymore, how He strengthened our faith through the difficult trials and tribulations that we face, how He's pulled us up from about to drown, sinking in the water, sinking in our circumstances, no hope. Jesus says, look to me, I'm your hope. I am the blessed hope. And that is the fishing testimony that each and every person here can give. What people do with it is just like the question of whether the fish bite or not. You can have the most expensive lure, the best rod, the best reel. You can have that sonar where you're like dropping your stuff right into the middle of the fish and they will not bite. But you know what? It's their decision whether to bite. And it's the decision of the person that you're talking to whether to accept Jesus Christ. You lay it out for them. You give them your testimony. You show them what the Bible says if you can. You tell them what the Bible says if you can. John 3:16 is all you need. You can build the whole gospel around that. For God so loved you. Forget the world right now. For God so loved you that He sent His only Son to die for you so that you could have eternal life. God will sink that message in. Maybe they got a hard heart. Maybe this is one of the 11 times somebody's going to have to tell them that. But God will sink that message in. He's going to chip away until that heart opens up. Because He's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to the saving knowledge of Him. So my question is to you today is, have you accepted Jesus Christ? You've heard Jesus' own words that if you do not accept Him, you are condemned already. We think we can fix it. Human nature, particularly in this country, is we can fix it. I can do it. I'm that rugged individualist. I can do this. I can take care of this. No, we can't. The Bible, the author of salvation, says there's only one way. So if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you need to do it today. During the invitation, afterwards, whenever, right where you sit right now before we get there. Say, I know I've sinned. I know I need you. I believe, Father, that you sent your Son to die for me. He's Lord and Savior. That's what it takes. He'll take your life at that point. He'll change it around. You don't have to clean yourself up to come. The fish don't have to get cleaned before they get in the boat. We don't have to do that. And if you're a child of God, you have the power, God-given power, to use your different life experience, your particular, weird, peculiar, whatever words you want to use, your unique life experience to be a witness that nobody else can be. And I promise you that if you have that testimony, there will be someone that you run into that God brings into your life. It won't be coincidence that God brings into your life where your testimony and your testimony alone is all that can get through to them. Maybe the way I say things doesn't get through that hard heart. You know, maybe I'm too logical, too rational. Maybe they need some just good old loving. Maybe they need hugs. I don't know. But God does. And He will bring people into your life that you will be able to share that unique experience with that He gave you. And He is empowering you to share. So we're going to have invitation time. If anybody needs to come forward to accept Jesus Christ, to whatever you want to do. The biggest thing is, I want everybody in here, you've heard the gospel. What you do with it now is your decision, just like whether the fish bite. God doesn't even make you. You get that? That's the unique thing. He could force you, But that's not what he wants. He wants your love. He wants your true worship. So if God's calling you to do something, let's do it. I pray that you would seek his guidance. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the clarity of your word. We know from hearing from you that we have one way to avoid condemnation, and that is to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe your word. We trust in it. We honor you through it. We're consumed by it, Father. We know we have to put our faith in Jesus, and that he is our only hope, but he is our glorious hope. And that anyone who comes to him, no matter what their background is, no matter what thoughts are going through their heads, no matter what actions they've done in their lives, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Father, examine each heart here today. If there's a heart that's not yet sought you for salvation, I pray that they would do it. And Father, for those of us that have, I pray that you would look at our hearts and show us our true hearts. Remind us of that power we have through your Holy Spirit to go out and do what you've called each and every one to do. Simply tell what you've done for us. Oh, what a marvelous story that is, Father. Thank you in his name. Amen.